Okay, good evening. It's 7 o'clock in Yerushalayim. We're going to look at the parasha of Vayakhel. Now, it's difficult to talk about Vayakhel because a lot of it is repeated. You know that the parashiyot of Truma and Tetzaveh are the parashiyot of the Mishkan and Bigdei Kohuna, plus a few other things on the side. So, and then Vayakhel Pekudei are this cover the same area of material, so that there's the big question of why is that the case? Why is it that there's Truma Tetzaveh, then Kitisa, which is the story of the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, and then Vayakhel Pekudei, which is Truma Tetzaveh over again? It always seemed to me that Truma Tetzaveh was the way it should be. But after the Chet HaEgel, just like nothing could ever be the same, building the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan could also never be the same. And so it had to be commanded over again. It had to be commanded to Bnei Israel once again to build the Mishkan. But tonight, I didn't want to talk about that question, the question of why Truma Tetzaveh is repeated in Vayakhel and Pekudei, and why in between the two renditions of the building of the Mishkan and the Bigdei Kohuna, why they are a kind of bracketing the story of the Egel HaZahav, which deserves its own kind of time and space. What I would like to talk to you tonight about is a little known story that has to do with the Mishkan. If you look at the psukim in the first psukim by the Ve'a Hashem el Moshe le'mor, okay, that's okay. Re'ei means be aware. Be aware of something. It's something that is special. Karati b'shem, I've called out the name. You know, to call out somebody's name is very important. It's like, imagine everybody wants to be in charge of building the Mishkan. Who gets the call from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's the words? Karati b'shem. Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur l'matei Yehuda. Right? Karati b'shem. Bezalel is going to build the Beit, the Mishkan. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, it makes me a little suspicious because who built the Mishkan? I think Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan. I mean, he didn't knock every nail into every piece of wood, but he was the guiding light of the building of the Mishkan, and there were a lot of people who worked for him, so to speak. And yet, in some way, Bezalel gets priority seating here. Bezalel, he may have had tremendous virtue, been a great builder, an artisan, all of these things, but it pales before the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was building the Mishkan as a direct command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why would I have to know or remember Bezalel? But this is what it says in the Parsha of Ki Tisa, not this week's Parsha. Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur lematei Yehuda. The second thing I know about Bezalel is that he is from the tribe of Yehuda. Right? Rashi says, Karati b'shem. You see the Rashi? Karati b'shem. Vasot milachti. It was, I called upon him. But it's not just him. Everybody was called upon to donate. Everybody did what they knew how to do in order to build the Mishkan. Why does Rashi say that? Karati b'shem lasot melachti. Of course, but why? That's what I don't understand. Pasuk gimu b'malei oto ruach chokma. I'm a leoto, sorry, Ruach Elohim. I mean, Ruach Elohim sounds, of course, like a formidable thing. The Spirit of God. Okay, whatever it is, it's not regular. B'chokhmah, b'tunah, b'dat, b'kol melacha. He had all of these qualities, which are hard to define, but we understand that they are nothing less than a tremendous compliment. Ruach Elohim bechokhmah, like wisdom, tunah, insights, uvedaat, and general knowledge, uvechol melacha, he could do everything. Right? We didn't see that about Moshe Rabbeinu, that in order to build the Mishkan, you had to be able to do everything that the builders had to do. You didn't have to do them all because it was a big undertaking and it needed a lot of people. But the advantage, I guess, of Bezalel over Moshe Rabbeinu was that Bezalel could do everything. He could do everything. Again, now Rashi says the end of that sentence, B'chokhmah, Masha Adam Shomea Macharim V'lamed. Rashi has this idea that you learn from others. That's called Chokhmah. Tuna. That somehow you understand yourself, you understand certain things. In other words, he derives new things from the things that he studied. The Da'at, he says, is Ruach HaKodesh. That's how Hashem defends the fact that he chose Bezalel. But it says in the Pasuk, at the beginning of the Pasuk, Vamalei Oto, right? Vamalei Oto, meaning God made him into that kind of person. So he was, I guess, on his own, had wisdom and understanding and special, but something about him was special beyond that. That's Vamalei Oto Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim is not regular Chokhmah, not regular Tuna, not regular Da'at, but Ruach Elohim add on to all of these things. That Pasuk Dalet, Lachashov Machashavot, to be able to think out things, and here we have a kind of a detailed understanding of Bezalel. He was able to work with gold and silver and copper. Rashi says, "Lachashov machashavot, arigat masechoshev." Arigot, maybe Arigot, to weave things. I mean, it was a highly regarded enterprise in those days, and it remains such even today in certain places where you could buy woven things, rugs and the like, we don't understand it so much. Then it says, "V'charoshet even lemalot, v'charoshet eitz lasot b'kol melacha, charoshet even, charoshet." Rashi says, "Lashon umanut." See the last word on the line. Ungulus pireish b'shana b'peirushan shecharash avanim karui oman. Charash eitz karui nagar. So the word charash means talented. It's a talented person. He had talent with the working with stone. Lemalot, to put to insert the jewels into the stone, charoshet eitz, and to deal with the wooden things that had to be designed. It wasn't like it is today, where anything you want to make, you have a computer that does it for you. It wasn't that way. You had to know how to do all of these things, and Bezalel knew all of them. Pasuk Vav, Ani Hine Natati Ito Et Oliav Ben Achisamach L'matei Dan. Oh, that's really too much. Ani Harei Natati Los Davids. Bezalel, who was second to Moshe Rabbeinu, without a doubt. Nevertheless, we can justify his getting an appearance in the Torah because he was special. He was special. He wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, but he was special. He was in the category of artisan special. He was unique. He knew all the, you know, he was like the Leonardo da Vinci of his day. Everything. Everything was possible. Well, who's Aliyav? What do I need somebody else? Why do I need to mention Aliyav ben Achisamach and then Lematei Dan? Because it says about Bezalel that he's Matei Yehuda. So this is, he's Lematei Dan. Aliyah ben Achisamach l'matei dan v'chol chacham leiv natati chokhma. V'chol chacham leiv. So now we have the fact that there were many people who knew how to do these specialized kinds of labors. I guess when they were in Egypt and enslaved to the Egyptians, some of the things that they did were this labor of artisans. And that's how they learned and they knew it. And so there's also Aliyav ben Achisamach l'matei dan ubelev kol chacham lev natati chokma. There were a lot of people who had chokma. Vasu et kol asher tziviticha. And they'll do everything. Lev kol chacham. Rashi lev kol chacham. There are others that are called Chachmei Leiv. V'chol asher natati bo chokma v'asu et kol asher tzivitiha. Okay. Basically, he said the pasuk. He doesn't mention the question that we asked. Maybe it's not a good question, but it bothers me. Why is there so much emphasis on Bezalel and Aliyav, and if somehow Bezalel is so special, he has Ruach Chokmah, a Ruach Elokim, b'Chokmah b'Tzuna b'Deah. I mean, where is it that that Aliyav fits in? There were many people with names who helped to build the Mishkan in the desert, not just Aliyav, but Aliyav somehow he becomes special. So if we switch to our parasha, Perek Lamed Hey, Vayomer Moshe b'nei Yisrael re'u. Remember pasuk bet above, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe le'emor re'ei karati l'shem. So Rashi, so Moshe Rabbeinu says re'u, as though to say I'm following in the directive from Hashem. Re'u. Kara Hashem, I have this, see if I could do this. Ru'u Kara Hashem B'Shem Bezalel Ben Uri Ben Chur L'matei Yehuda. It's a repeat of the Pasuk in Kitisa. Right? Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu says to B'nai Yisrael, Ru'u Kara Hashem B'Shem. That's how important it is. It's not just that Bezalel was appointed, but he was appointed twice. He was appointed before the parasha of Kitisa, and he's appointed again by Moshe Rabbeinu after the parsha of Ki Tisa. B'tzala ben Uri ben Chulam Matei Yehuda. Right? Rashi says, Chur, who is Chur? Bina shel Miriam haya. Right? That Chur is the son of Miriam, one of the people who held up Moshe's arms at the battle against Amalek. Pasuk Lamed, the next Pasuk, right, by Amalei Oto Ruach Elokim B'chokma B'tmuna B'da'at B'chol Melacha. So it's an exact repeat. I mean, why do you need the repeat? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to say to Bnei Yisrael what Hashem said to Bnei Yisrael earlier? Valiyav, Rashi, oppa, one second, Rashi. Rashi, Valiyav, Mishevet Dan. Again, Rashi just noticed that Aliyav is Mishevet Dan. So you say, why do I have to emphasize? Why do I have to know? I know he's from Mishevet Dan. That's in the parsha of Ki Tisa. Mishevet Dan. Mishevet Dan min ha-Yehudim b'shvatim mibnei ha-shvachot. Rashi tells us something new, that the shvatim could be differentiated in some way. Some are called Elyonim, right, the upper ones, but they're also Yehudim, the impoverished ones, the unsuccessful ones, the Yehudim. Shebishvatim ibnei ha-shvachot, Dan is the son of one of the shvachot. Remember Bilha and Zilpah? So Rashi says, look what happened here. Where Hashem said that somehow they're equal. They have equal billing. Who has equal billing? Oliyav and Bezalel have equal billing. They built together somehow. And Yehuda, after all we know, was probably the biggest shevet, the biggest area, because you think in terms of Eretz Yisrael, all the land from Yerushalayim and south and east was part of Yehuda. Umigdolei hashvatim, Rashi said, L'kayim ma'shenemar, that there was no way of differentiating the rich and well-heeled and the poor and the impoverished. I don't know exactly what Rashi means. I guess you could say we could make up some kind of an idea, like the Mishkan. Mishkan was a special place, and it didn't differentiate between status and the way you held yourself in the world and the way you are. Was successful or not successful, but the Mishkan was not that. And then you have an answer, sort of an answer to our question. I'm like, why was it that Bezalel and Aliyah are mentioned? It turns out Bezalel is not mentioned to himself. It's mentioned because he reflects an idea. And the idea is that Bezalel and Aliyah together, even though one comes from a very large and influential background, that's Bezalel, and Dan, Oliyav, who comes from the tribe of Dan, who is like not very very great in his ideas. Oliyav is... that's what it says. As it says in the Pasuk. But I think that if we remind ourselves, we have to like look at the details here. We remind ourselves of the fact again that the parasha of Ki Tisa is the parasha of Heita Egel. So there's Bezalel and Aliyav that were appointed before the Heita Egel. And now there's Bezalel and Aliyah that are appointed after the Chet Egel. Before the Chet Egel, in the parasha of Ki Tisa, and after the Chayta Egel in the parasha of Vayakel, our parasha. That's what it says. So it seems to me that this is a part of the critique against Bnei Yisrael in a manner, because it says, in the first parsha that we learned, you see, it says, "Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, Re'eh karati b'shem b'tzalach." Who said it? Who said it to Bnei Yisrael? Moshe said it, but the pasuk says, "Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor." The level of communication about the Mishkan was as high as it could possibly be when Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur and Eliab were appointed. And that's why it could say in Pasuk Gimel, Vamale Oto Ruach Elohim, because in fact it is God speaking about why these two people, Bezalel and Eliab, are special. But in the second rendition of the appointment, it says, "Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Yisrael, Ru'u kara Hashem b'shem Bezalel ben Uri," etc. So it's Moshe Rabbeinu passing on the information. In the first time we learn about Bezalel and Eliyahu, it's Hashem that's passing down the information. So even though in both cases it says Vayimalei Oto Ruach Elokim Mechol Bobe Tuna V'Das U'Bechol B'Lacha, that is added, right, that we understand that there is a difference. I mean, even though it's more expansive the first time, but there's a difference, because in the first case, Karati B'Shem, God called on Bezalel and Eliyahu, so that meant that they had a relationship. Whereas in the second case, in Shmot Perek Lamed Hei, Vayomer Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Re'u Kara Hashem B'Shem Bezalel, etc. You know, it was Moshe Rabbeinu saying, this is what happened. Right? There's Re'u. So I don't know if we've answered the question yet. The question was, why do they have to mention them? And why should they be mentioned twice? Maybe we've answered the question of why they should be mentioned twice, that it wasn't quite the same, and that the question always is, what happened after Chayta Egel? What happened after the sin of the golden calf? Does everything go back to be the way it was before? I mean, clearly that is not the case. If you look carefully at the parashiyot, this week's parasha, next week's parasha, if you look carefully, you'll see that after the Chayta Egel, it wasn't exactly the same. And here we have an example of after the Chayta Egel, where it's not exactly the same. Before the Chayta Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself appointed Bezalel and Eliyahu and gave them special qualities. The second time around, it was Moshe Rabbeinu who told Bnei Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Bezalel and Eliyahu to be in charge. Okay. Let's look at another pasuk. A pasuk in Melachim Aleph. Now, you know these pasukim in Melachim Aleph are around the idea of Shlomo HaMelech building the Beit HaMikdash, as you know. I mean, you know that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, that's what I mean. It took place several hundred years after Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Canaan, right? And lasted for a while. Churban Bayit Rishon, which was the destruction of the temple by the Assyrians. Bayit Rishon was in 722 BCE. You have to figure it out. 722 BCE, which included the exile of the tribes who lived in northern Israel. Northern Israel, like north of Yehuda. Yehuda was not involved and got through it. So, Ben Isha Almana, Umi Matei Naphtali, Ben Isha Almana, the son of Naphtali, Matei Naphtali. Vaviv Ish Tsari, Choresh Nechoshet, Vayimale et Achochma, Vet Atuna, Vet Adaat, Asot Kol Melacha, Becharoshet, Vayavo la Mela Shlomo, Vayas et Kol Melachto. Or Vayavo, it could be Vayave. So he came, there was this person, Mimaten Naphtali, who seems to take the place of Bezalel, right? Va'aviv ish tsari, choresh nechoshet, va'yemalei et ha'chokma v'atmuna, va'yemalei ulai oto, chokma v'atmuna v'et hadat, la'zod kol melacha benechoshet. Va'yavo el ha'melech Shlomo, and he came to Shlomo ha'melech, va'yas et kol melachto. Rashi says, Charash is an Oman. Remember, we had that word. Vayemalei et hachokma v'datfuna v'tadat. Now look at this Rashi. Rashi in Melachim. We don't usually get to Rashi's in Melachim, but look at Rashi says, Shloshet klei umanut. Because there are three vessels that represent special qualities, talents. It's like great theology. The world was created on three. Not what Pirkei Avot says, but something else. Nivrabahem shenemar bechachma yasad aris. There's a pasuk that says bechachma, with the wisdom is the basis of the created world. Konen shamayim. Bitfuna, and he established the heavens with tfuna. Bidato tohomot nivku'u. Bishloshtam nivne abayit. So he says this pasuk that says, Vayabalei tchokma vetatfuna vetadat. Remember what we said above? Or we said above? We said above. Lachashov machshavo here. Vayavalei oto ruach elyon b'chokma b'tzvuna v'da'at u'b'chol melacha. Right? So Shlomo HaMelech, who wants to imitate the building of the Mishkan, he finds somebody who has those same qualities, chokma and da'at and tzvuna, and can do it, can build. So he says, Benisha, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, again. Call him when I should love the Rabbi Shedema, Bechokma, Yasad Aretz, Konen Shamai Betuna, Bedato Tehomot Nivku, Bishloshtam Nivnehabayit. So that building the Beit HaMikdash, according to this little Rashi that we found in Melachim Aleph, this Rashi says that the building of the Beit HaMikdash was kind of similar to creating the world. I mean, I know that we celebrate the creation of the world on Shabbat, but this is a different idea, that you could make a place which represents the way the world was, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu let us in on the understanding that Chochmah and Tfunah and Da'at were kind of the purposes of the building of the world. And so when Shlomo HaMelech wants to build the Beit HaMikdash, and he wants it to be like the Beit HaMikdash like the Mishkan in the desert, so he finds somebody. His name is not Bezalel, and his name is not Oliab. I mean, I guess they were not around at the time. It was 400 years later, after the building of the Mishkan. So he finds somebody, and Rashi tells us inadvertently that Chochmah and Da'at is not just about the knowledge or the ability to do things in a specialized way, but it's the use of the profound power that was given to us to imitate the creation of the world. That's what Rashi is saying. It's a like a Rashi worth remembering. So this pasuk in Melachim Aleph has a kind of a parallel in Divrei Hayamim. It's Divrei Hayamim. You know, Divrei Hayamim, those are the books at the end of the Tanakh, which, you know, most people, and they kind of parallel to Melachim, to the books of Melachim, and not identical to, but parallel to. So there's a pasuk. Ben Isha min benot Dan. V'aviv ish tzori yodea la'asot b'zahav v'kesem d'chot sh'barzel v'avadim u'v'eitzim v'agaman b'tchelet v'bus v'chol u'v'karmil l'fateach kol pituchei v'lachashov kol machshavot sh'yitein lo im chachomecha v'chachmei Adoni David Avicha. So I'll read it again slowly. Ben Isha, they're talking about somebody who is the son of a woman, Min Benot Dan, his mother was from the tribe of Dan. You have to remember, Oliav, remember? Oliav was from the tribe of Dan. Vaviv, and his father was East Sori, came from this place. Yodea la'asot bi, and he was multi-talented. Zahav and Kesef, the choshes of which we have in our psukim, but here he's even more talented. He's got barzel and avanim uve eitzim uve argaman, but chelet babutz, like he could build buildings and furniture and clothing. Right, he's got it all under control. Uve karmil, uve fateach kol pituchei pituach. I mean, you could engrave all kinds of things. Uve chashov kol machshavot, and to think things out. Hashem yinatein lo im chachamecha v'chachmei Adoni David amecha. Kol machshavot which were given. Hashem yinatein lo. In chachamecha v'chachmei Adoni David Avicha. We don't know who those people are. Okay, let's look at Rashi. Without looking at Rashi, on Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim Bet, there are two volumes of Divrei Hayamim, like Shmuel and Melachim. There are two volumes of Divrei Hayamim as well. It's Ben Isha. Ben Isha, when you say Ben Isha, Rashi says that means she was an almanah, or so her husband was gone, died or left. Min benot Dan, Mishevet Dan. She was from Shevet Dan. Vaviv ish tzori. Yehudi haya yoshev betzor. Dugmat, there's a place named Tzor, so he's tzori. Dugmat, similar to what the Torah says, or the Shmuel says, Oved Edom Hagati, Shaya Yoshev Begat, V'Levi Haya, and he was a Levi. V'Begat V'Levi Haya, U'Bimlachim, in the book of Melachim, K'tiv U'Ben Ish Almana, Mimaten Naphtali, isn't that what it says? You see the pasuk above? Here. You see it? Oh, Ben Ish Almana Umimaten Naphtali. That's what Rashi is quoting. Isaribinabtali, Matsarich Liyaches Be'ezet Shevet Hu. You see where I got the question from? Aviv Imo. So why is it important that we know who the yichus of his father? He was a remarkable artisan. I mean, what difference does it make where his father came from or his mother came from? V'zeu shekatuv danane Elokim. That's what the word Dan comes from, the name of a tribe. V'gam naftuli. Gam naftuli Elokim. Also, Naftali is mentioned. Amra Rachel. Me'ata. These are like reasons for the names. Me'ata akamti ptulim akmumiyot. Asiti adsheini yechol edamot etzmi le'a achoti. That's Amra Rachel. I'll never have as many children as Leah, my sister, has. Im Leah hitpa'er, bevitzalel bina, so she will have hitpa'er. She'll be proud of the fact that Bezalel is her son, as Yehuda is her son, and Bezalel is the son of Yehuda. She is a mishkan. He's going to make the mishkan. Yitzarech lichtatef bimlachto. Achad mi b'nei Dan, he has to force one of the people of b'nei Dan to make the Mishkan with him. Shne'amar v'yitol aliyav berach yisamach l'matei Dan. V'im Shlomo ben Achoti yivne beit ha-migdash, im Shlomo ben Achoti, and as Rachel says, Shlomo, after all, is of the tribe of Yehuda. Ben Achoti, he's the son after son after son of my sister, Leah. Yivne Beit HaMikdash, Tzarich Lishtatef Imo, Mibnei Dan, Benaftali. In other words, Rashi says it became part of Hilchot Binyan HaMikdash, that you have to have a representative of the tribe of Yehuda and another representative of the tribe of Dan, because the building of the Mikdash is sociologically a building for everybody. That when you walk into the Beit HaMikdash, everybody's equal. It's a remarkable feature of the Beit HaMikdash and why it's so difficult today to have such a thing. But It was part of, so what Rashi says is, it had to be. It wasn't that Shlomo HaMelech was looking for somebody, but there had to be, in building the Beit HaMikdash, had to be in building the Beit HaMikdash, somebody from the tribe of Yehuda, right, representing Bezalel, and somebody from the tribe of Dan, and he says, it was the way that Rachel and Leah somehow resolved the competition between them. Rachel said, I mean, I'm never going to be as good as my sister, whose descendant Bezalel is building the Beit HaMikdash. So Hashem said, no, I'll give you Aliyav as well, which is a descendant of Dan, which is, will modify or pacify Rachel, that she's also participating in the Beit HaMikdash. And it's interesting that the Beit HaMikdash seemingly caused an irreconcilable rift between the tribes, which ultimately led to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash by the Assyrians, the destruction of the 10 tribes, and the fact that Am Yisrael became represented only by Yehuda, and so that the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash may be held up for that reason. Okay, have a good Shabbos.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
All the best.
Thank you, Rabbi.